Ramsey TV.
King David, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, you and me, what do we three have in common? Oh, what do we have in common? Psalm 31 and the comfort provided to us and for us there. This is Martin Zender. I may regret recording from this location. You may regret me recording from this location. I am at the Fairfield end, and that highway hum, I'm sure you can hear it, is Interstate 77, I-77 in Canton, Ohio. The Pro Football Hall of Fame is right over there. I was raised in this here town, and I'm visiting now. It was cold this morning. Those of you who are watching the Fairfield cam, Canton cam. Yeah, this is the Canton cam. Those of you watching the Canton cam, notice I have this fancy winter hat on. This morning was 29 degrees. Yeah, you heard right, 29 degrees, but that's okay. It's good for me to get a taste of this every once in a while. So I'm going to go back to Psalm 31. Now, something I said yesterday astounded a few of you, and I'm glad of it. What I said was that Psalm 31, which contains the famous saying, "Into your hands I commit my spirit," this was not written by David about Jesus Christ. It was written to him. Our Lord got these words from the psalm. It's not, again, I know it's complicated. It's not like the psalmist was prophesying about what Jesus Christ would say. The psalmist, David, was giving Christ the words to say, because this is the startling part. Our Lord took courage from reading these scriptures. I mean, he read scriptures like, I hate those keeping hypocritical vanities. And like, yeah, that was David saying that. I hate those keeping hypocritical vanities. Our Lord read that in the quietness of his room, and he said, yeah, I do too. He read verse 7, you know all about the distresses of my soul. David talking to God. Our Lord read that and goes, yeah, God knows all about my distresses too. Verse 10, for my life was consumed with affliction. Jesus says to himself, or out loud, to no one in particular, wow, I have a real kinship with David here because I'm feeling the same freaking thing. And so he cries out to God. Yeah. And so we can look at these words too and be comforted. To me, that's just amazing. I told you I was going to continue here. And in verse 10, talk about my ears are consumed with sighing. That's sad. But I, as I told you yesterday, I've perfected the sigh. And I've developed it into the heavy sigh. Yeah. Back in the Bible days, there was no such thing as a heavy sigh because you never read about it. It was only the sigh. So not until these modern days has the heavy sigh come into play. And that's because of me. I'm the original heavy sigher. I am. When people say to me, yes, sire, they're not saying it in S-I-R-E. They're saying it S-I-G-H-E-R. Yes, oh heavy sire. It's not speaking of my weight either. It's the intensity of my sigh. That's what that is. So our Lord is reading this in verse 11. Because of all my foes, I became a reproach. Yeah, they mock you. They make fun of you. I got a guy right here on this YouTube channel who chimes in every day and reproaches me and you for believing in the message of grace and the salvation of all and the sovereignty of God. He can't stand it. So we're a reproach to him. The only reason I haven't, people say, why haven't you kicked that guy off? Judge 69. Well, it's good for us. It's good for us to see this opposition, to realize where we came from, to realize how far God has taken us. It's like looking back at a picture of yourself, you know, like in grammar school, you know, or like before and after pictures, like before you go on a workout, before you go on a diet, you know, and then you look it back and you go, oh man, I used to be like that. So it's good in that way. So 69 Judge is providing a service for all of us. As long as he doesn't get really insulting. I mean, I'll take a reproach, you know, a reproach is fine. not that it applies, he's reproaching us for relying on the living God who is the Savior of all humanity. Paul said this was happened. This would happen. 1 Timothy 4:10. For this we are toiling and being reproached. Why? Because we're a bunch of jerks? No, because we rely on the living God who's the Savior of all humanity. Judge 69, or 69 Judge, whatever the hell he is, he relies on his own righteousness, on his own ability to keep law. What a deceived person. You don't have the ability to keep law, sir. The law never came to you anyway. But yeah, do what you got to do. We're all benefiting from looking at it, going, oh, thank God that ain't me no more. Yeah, so, yeah, for this we are toiling and being reproached. Why? Because we rely on the living God instead of ourselves. I guess that's not fashionable. Must be a societal faux pas nowadays. I guess it's always fashionable to rely on yourself, to tout your own abilities. Well, we don't do that here. And we suffer reproach because of it. Verse 11, even to my neighbors exceedingly so. Even to my neighbors I became a reproach. Now, Jesus could definitely read this and go, wow. Like, did David like know me or what? Because he had neighbors, and what did they say? Is this not the carpenter's son? Yeah, they heard. If they didn't live next to him, they knew about that he was the carpenter's son, and he lived in a crappy neighborhood called Nazareth. They all knew it. Yeah, I mean, he became a reproach because of that. It was embarrassing to come from Nazareth, and his neighbors knew him. How would you like to, like, have this guy that's been living next to you and helping his dad, and he comes to your house to hang a door, build some cabinets. This man's come, this young man's coming in to build your cabinets, right, in your bathroom. And next thing you know, he's saying that he's a Messiah. Like, what? I mean, it's astounding. So they're reproached by your neighbors. That hurts. That hurts. An alarm to my close acquaintances. So because of my foes, I've become a reproach, even to my neighbors exceedingly so. That is an exceeding reproach. And this is almost humorous, but not really. An alarm to my close acquaintances. Your family, they're alarmed about you. What? You believe what? In the salvation of all? You believe what? That God created evil? You believe what? That the concept of eternity is not in scripture, but it's about eons. What? You don't believe in the Trinity? You believe that Jesus is God's son and not God himself? Oh my God, they're concerned about you. They're alarmed. Well, you know what? I'm alarmed about them. Yeah, they're going to be here during the tribulation because they're not believers in Christ Jesus. They don't have faith in Christ. They have faith in their faith in Christ. They have faith in themselves, like 69 Judge. Yeah, it's faith in himself, not a believer. Not by any stretch of the imagination. Good luck during the tribulation, my friend. I don't know if bug spray is going to work on those locusts. I don't know. Raid, extra strength Raid, maybe? I don't know. Give it a try. But I'm going to help you, you know what? Because I like to help those who reproach me. So you might think I'm reproaching you. Well, actually, I am, yes. Those seeing me in the street, they would bolt away from me. You ever heard that saying, cross over to the other side of the road? They actually did this to Alan Hess in Faith, North Carolina. He used to be a Baptist preacher, and when he came to believe in the salvation, it's a small town, everybody knows him, right? And when he came to believe in the salvation of all, he said that people literally used to cross to the other side of the sidewalk when they saw him coming, because he was now a reproach, and his close acquaintances were alarmed that he no longer believed in eternal torment. How could you not believe that God's gonna burn most of humanity forever in flames? Oh my God, you don't believe that anymore? You're such an idiot. Yeah, really? Who's the idiot? Ooh, there's a question for you. Those seeing me in the street, they would bolt away from me. So this is literal. Listen to this. They did this to David. They did it to Christ. When our Lord, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph, was walking around Nazareth or Jerusalem, even Jerusalem during his public ministry, people would go to the other side of the street. They don't want to get too close to the Savior. No, you don't want to get too close to the author of grace and peace. No, oh no. You don't want to get too close to the teaching that says Christ was successful at the cross. No, that's dangerous. Cross the other side, Christians. You hear what we believe? That Jesus Christ is the Savior of all? Oh yeah, that's a real safe thing to do. Cross to the other side of the street. Good, yeah, you're gonna embrace that decision when the tribulation starts. Yeah, you're gonna love that one at the Great White Throne. What happened? Well, I don't know. You crossed to the other street when you heard, crossed to the other side of the street when you heard the truth. When you saw Zender coming, you got out of the way. Yeah, when you saw Waylon Dabbs coming, you got to the other way. When you saw Manfred Jones coming, you crossed to the other side of the street. Yeah, yeah, you didn't like these people. They would bolt away from me. That's a scriptural word there, ladies and gentlemen, bolt. I was forgotten like a dead man, out of heart. I became like a lost vessel. You're forgotten. They've written you off like you're dead, some people have. I know even people who are believers or pseudo-believers. I don't know if they're believers. They claim to be believers who have written me off, forgotten me like I'm dead. Never contact me again. There's people in this world to whom I brought the evangel, and they've never talked to me again because they got a bee in their precious little bonnet, and they have some kind of personal hang-up, and they won't even talk to me anymore. Yeah. Yeah, I was forgotten like a dead man, out of heart. I'm not sure what that means. Out of heart, out of mind? I don't know. Yeah, where are the hearts of people who abandon you? Where are their hearts? God, they have a heart like the freaking Grinch, the size of a kidney bean. And God, they don't even like their dog Max. For I heard the muttering of many. Oh, they mutter too. Yeah, they mutter. As they go on the other side of the street, they go, that's what that muttering sounds like. Belief in the salvation. I think Christ was a successful Savior. Yeah, they mutter. Yeah. The muttering of many. I heard the muttering of many. Yeah. Sounds like a good title for a book. The Muttering of Many by Martin Zender. Shrinking fear was round about. Oh yeah, they're afraid of you. They're afraid. It's dangerous to hold to the teaching that Jesus Christ is a successful Savior. That's dangerous. That's a dangerous teaching. My teaching's safe. Oh yeah, what's your teaching? Oh, my teaching is that God is going to condemn most of humanity to hell for eternity, even those who never heard of Jesus. Oh, that sounds like a safe teaching. Yeah, well, your teaching's dangerous. Mine? Yeah, why? Why is my teaching dangerous? Well, you believe that Jesus Christ was a successful Savior. Yeah, that sounds like a pretty safe teaching to me. Oh no, our teaching's safe. And what's your teaching again? That Jesus Christ failed in his attempt to take away the sins of the world. Okay, yeah. Yeah, you just go ahead and when you're standing at the Great White Throne, you just tell God and Christ, I thought it would be fine to believe in the failure of the cross to take away the sins of the world. I thought it was safe if I read 1 Timothy 4:10, God's the Savior of all humanity, and interpreted it to mean God is not the Savior of all humanity. I thought it was safe. Well, let's see here. No, it wasn't safe. What happened to the millennium? It's already over. Numbnuts. Go on. In their deliberation together against me, they schemed to take away my soul. Oh, yeah. They become friends in their uniting against you. That's what Herod and Pilate became friends against our Lord after that. They deliberate. They scheme to take away your soul. Yet I in you trusted, O Yahweh. Finally, we turn the corner here in verse 4. Comes the trust. Even in spite of all this, in spite of all the BS, in spite of us being the off-scouring of all things, in spite of us being pond scum, and in spite of us being muttered about for believing the truth, I trusted in you, Yahweh. I said, my Elohim are you. That is, yeah, my Elohim, my subjector, my placer. You put me in this position. In your hands are my seasons. You're in charge of my seasons. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies. Yeah, that'd be nice. And from those pursuing me. Yeah, that would be nice. Uh-oh. Now we're going to find out later. I'm gonna stop this for now because my hands are getting cold. See, they're turning blue right at the end there. You see that? They're turning blue. Oof. Okay, I'm going to continue this tomorrow. But it is amazing that our feelings are provided for, that our experiences are provided for in that you should not think it's strange. Like, didn't Peter say, You shouldn't think it's strange, beloved, when life sucks. I'm paraphrasing. You shouldn't think it's strange when all kinds of trials are happening to you, because this is the way it is with the righteous, you know. Yeah, you get your ass kicked by the proud religious Pharisees, and they're not dead. Oh no, the Pharisees are alive and well. Yeah, just look at 69 Judge there. He's a Pharisee, classic example. So, still love you, 69 Judge. Yeah, still love you. Kinda, yeah. So, yeah, why not? So, it's comforting to know that men and women of God experience this ahead of time, even those noble ones, like David, for God's sake. You expect King David to be treated better. No, he got the crap treatment from the proud people of the world. And so did our Lord Jesus Christ. Of all the people who should have been celebrated and lauded, he got the crap treatment from even his associates, even his neighbors, even the very people that he came to save, the Israelites. That sucks. We try to save our family and friends. They don't want anything to do with it. Well, they don't want anything to do with it now, but let's see what they think later.